Citizens home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's promising an announcement today regarding autism. The Washington Post reports the administration is going to link Tylenol use during pregnancy to an increased risk of autism in children. David Mandel is a University of Pennsylvania psychiatry professor and an autism expert. He says,
I'm very concerned that women who experience fevers will elect not to treat that fever because we know the fever is associated with poor child outcomes.
Tylenol's manufacturer says science has not shown such a link. The new U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Mike Waltz, appeared before the Security Council today, which met an emergency session over Russia's recent incursion into Estonian airspace. The main topic of this week's U.N. General Assembly expected to be Gaza, as multiple Western allies announced they'll recognize a Palestinian state. And the Federal Trade Commission taking Amazon to trial, saying it tricked people into signing up for Prime and made it hard to cancel. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A bill that would help first responders treat opioid overdoses is now on President Donald Trump's desk. Senator Tammy Baldwin authored the Safe Response Act. It gives $57 million per year until 2030 to help first responders save lives when people are suffering from fentanyl overdoses. Baldwin has been vocal about addiction struggles in her own family, and this bill was crafted with bipartisan input. It passed the Senate unanimously, and now it's waiting for the president's signature. And a UW-Madison professor testified to Congress about nuclear fusion. The House Science Committee's Energy Subcommittee held a hearing last week about the future of fusion, and one of four witnesses was Stephanie Deem, who's conducting experiments at UW-Madison to make fusion power easier and less expensive.
Fusion is a dense, virtually limitless source of power derived from hydrogen that could radically transform humanity. Fusion, the process that powers the sun, occurs when light elements are forced together and combined under extreme conditions, releasing vast amounts of energy. On Earth, we use magnetic bottles or powerful lasers to create these fusion conditions. Fusion gives us hope.
Lawmakers on the subcommittee say it could be the future of energy in America. And a reminder to drive safely around school buses, it's Operation Safe Stop Week. The Wisconsin State Patrol is teaming up with the Wisconsin School Bus Association in an effort to encourage safe driving near buses. The State School Bus Association worked with its members to identify bus stops where people illegally pass. Now law enforcement will be adding extra patrols in those spots this week. And now a ticket for illegally passing a school bus will cost you a whole lot more. The penalty increased in 2024, so a citation will now cost $676.50 and 4 demerit points on your license. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10. To Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday tried to throw a pen and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
Mixed skies and warm today. High temperatures flirting with 80 degrees with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially tonight. Some could bring some heavy rainfall, gusty winds, and small hail. And it'll leave us with a darker and damp day tomorrow with on and off showers still and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
92.7 WMDX. Like a podcast, but lazier.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, in about 2 hours and 13 minutes, I think, 11:19 a.m. Pacific time, well, 2 hours and change, fall hits. Autumn is here. It was 50 degrees walking in this morning to work. Amazing. Happy Monday. A lot going on today, a lot to talk about. The oldest warning sign, how history links the death of comedy to the death of democracies. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, you should be alarmed at Trump's new restrictions on Pentagon reporters. And the Republicans are coming after Social Security again. This one is outrageous. I'll tell you about that in this first hour. And Trump is going after another adversary, and he's firing a prosecutor to get away with it. This is just corruption. Well, it's really fascism at a level that, frankly, I mean, Nixon kind of nibbled around the edges of this stuff, but we've never seen anything like this in this country. This is mind-boggling. In the second hour of our program, the border czar, Tom Holman, tried to sell the border for $50,000, and apparently, so far, he's getting away with it. Also, California has banned masks, ice masks. How are they going to implement that? And the Bureau of Labor Statistics has postponed a key economic data report. Why? And in the third hour, the feds are coming up empty, linking Kirk's shooter to left-wing groups. This is a huge fascist setback for these guys. But my op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com is titled "The Oldest Warning Sign, How History Links the Death of Comedy to the Death of Democracy." Let me just kind of start this out. Hang on just a second here. There we go. A Berlin's munition worker was executed in 1944 when she was overheard telling this joke. Quote, "Hitler and Goering are standing on top of the Berlin radio tower. Hitler says he wants to cheer up the German people. Goering says, why don't you just jump?" She was executed for telling that joke. Another whispered joke was, "Goering has attached an arrow to the row of medals in his tunic. It reads, continue on the back. Continued on the back." Jews shared jokes as they were about to be persecuted by the Nazis. For example, quote, "Two Jews are about to be shot. Suddenly the order comes to hang them from instead. One says to the other, you see, they're running out of bullets." Whisper jokes happened in other dictatorships, too. After Putin took power in Russia, you know, he banned a puppet show that made fun of him, and he banned comedians that make fun of him. And here's an example. Stalin appears to Putin in a dream and says, "I have two bits of advice for you. Kill off all your opponents and paint the Kremlin blue." Putin asks, "Why blue?" Stalin responds, "I knew you wouldn't object to the first one." This, by the way, that's a hat tip to Mark Jacob, who included all those things in his Substack newsletter. But, my op-ed today at the very top of the page starts out, you know, we've seen this movie before. It's got this picture of from the ex-account of the Department of Labor, by the way, of one of these giant banners. They're hanging now from three different federal buildings, these giant banners with Trump's face. I think it might be his mugshot, you know, from when he was arrested in Georgia. It's just, you know, this kind of angry, I am the dictator and you will be afraid. So anyhow, as I said, we've seen this movie before, at least our grandparents did. Dictators can't take a joke. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Dictators can't take a joke. They're humorless because they know that humor is one of the things that can bring down dictatorships. It's one of the ways that the bubble of invincibility gets punctured. So on February 4th, 1939, 7 months before the invasion of Poland, which kicked off World War II, the man with oversight responsibility for all German media, Goebbels, officially forbade five German comedians, who at that time had been performing in Berlin, from ever again performing in public. The headline in the New York Times on February 4th, 1939, quote, Goebbels ends careers of five Aryan actors who made witticisms about the Nazi regime. And their crime, according to Goebbels, was publicly telling, quote, brazen, impertinent, arrogant, and tactless jokes about Der Führer. This is a quote from the New York Times. Their humor, Goebbels told the press, only appealed to, and then they quote Goebbels, society rabble that followed them with thundering applause, parasitic scum inhabiting our luxury streets that seemed to have only the task of proving how little their brains, how little brains people can get along and even acquire money and prominence, end of quote. The Times added that Goebbels and Hitler were particularly incensed that they had been caricatured, right? And more, even worse than that, these five comedians were all accused of making fun of Hitler's followers. You got that? This is like, you know, making fun of Hitler's followers. Or, quote, what amused the public most, however, and presumably roiled the National Socialist authorities, is from the New York Times, although Dr. Goebbels does not mention it, is that they deftly but unmistakably caricatured some gestures, poses, and physical characteristics of National Socialist leaders, sometimes with bon mots that made the rounds of the country. The Times noted that the Nazis were furious. They said that, quote, we have a keen sense of humor that could kill opponents with ridicule, end quote. And then the Times added, but as National Socialism proposes to remain in power 2,000 years, it has neither the time nor the patience to apply that method to the, quote, miserable illiterati, or literati. So now here we have the Federal Censorship Commission, the FCC, Chairman Brendan Carr, seeming to follow in Goebbels' footsteps. I mean, he has implicitly threatened that, you know, he's going after newscasts, after Disney and ABC and all this stuff. I mean, this is really dangerous stuff. This is how democracies die. There's just, you know, no other way to say it. It's this is how democracies die. And in a really terrible, terrible way as well. So this is the oldest warning, I think, frankly, in history. Trump himself was blunt about how illegal it is for people on television to criticize him. And he wasn't just talking about comedians, specifically calling out newscasts that will presumably be Carr's next target. So, you know, where do we go with this? Well, he's got these giant banners, these, you know, hanging from federal buildings in Washington, D.C. And Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson said, when I saw the banners hanging from federal office buildings last week, it reminded me of the Communist Party in China and the banners hanging from federal offices, just totally inappropriate and a step toward authoritarianism. It's another indication of the march that we're on towards authoritarianism in this country. So here's the question. This week, Is anybody going to be willing to tell the, to quote Goebbels, brazen, impertinent, arrogant, and tactless jokes about these Saddam Hussein-like banners that Trump is erecting with his picture all over Washington, D.C.? Stay tuned. Because dictators, I'm guessing that comedians are going to leave him alone. Because dictators can't take a joke, you know. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. I'll be right back. What if I told you that most collagen products aren't just a waste of money? They're loaded with toxins that could lead to skin issues, heart problems, even cognitive decline. Scary, but it's true. See, collagen is the most abundant protein in your body, and your natural supply drops as you age. That's why so many people your age are turning to collagen to relieve joint pain, rebuild bones, and even look years younger. But here's the catch. You have to know what to look for. You could end up doing more harm than good. Before you buy another tub from Amazon or your local store, go check out the top five collagen warnings every American needs to see, along with a special offer. It's a quick read that could save your health and your wallet. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping. This offer is only available at getnativepath.com/Hartman with two N's. That's get, G-E-T, getnativepath.com/Hartman with two N's at the end. Getnativepath.com/Hartman. Get ready to go for the green and gold right here on this local civic media station. Your keyword for this hour in the multi-state contest is cold, C-O-L-D, cold. Text in the keyword before the end of this hour for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And to be entered to win Civic Media's grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
Now is the moment we've been waiting for. With new treatments emerging in the fight against Alzheimer's and all other dementia, now is the time for hope and for action. Held in over 600 communities nationwide, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest fundraiser for care, support, and research to fight the disease. So get out, get moving, and join WMDX at the Walk to End Alzheimer's on Sunday, October 5th at Warner Park in Madison. Join the movement at alz.org/walk.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
All
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. You know, the Constitution is very clear. Government must not endorse religion. Yet in Texas and Arkansas, lawmakers tried to force the Ten Commandments into every school classroom. Thanks to lawsuits brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, federal judges stepped in, calling these laws, quote, obviously unconstitutional. You know, this isn't just about posters on the wall. It's about whether America remains a pluralistic democracy or slips toward theocracy. These victories show the courts are still willing to defend that core principle of church-state separation. And that's essential to protecting every American's freedom of conscience. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 to become a member. Text Hartman to 511-511 or go to ffrf.us/school. Because public funds should fund education, not religious indoctrination. Text fees may apply.
Apples drew the hard red line. Five comedians silence broke because dictators can't take a joke. Dictators can't take a joke. The truth in laughter makes their power choke. From Hitler's stage to Trump's TV, they fear the punchline more than the enemy. When banners rise and freedoms fall, they come for humor first of all. Mock the crown, the mask, the cloak, and watch dictators start to choke. Dictators can't take a joke. The smallest laugh becomes the loudest smoke. History warns it's always the same. Silence the comics, then silence the flame.
Absolutely, dictators cannot take a joke. I would have kept that up to the end. So anyhow, what's going on here? The Pentagon has now said that if you are a Pentagon reporter, you may not report on the Pentagon unless the Pentagon gives you permission. And they want to see what you're writing or what you're reporting before you submit it or publish it. This is how it works in North Korea. This is how it works in Russia. This is how it works in China. This is not how it works in France, Germany, England, Norway, Sweden, Scotland, Italy. There's no democracy in the world that requires reporters to submit their reporting in advance to government censors. But now the Trump administration and Pete Hegseth, Kegger Pete, have announced that you may not publish anything. It's a 17-page memo that could, quote, drastically
restrict the flow of information about the U.S. military to the public, according to the National Press Club, or according to the New York Times, excuse me. Seth Stern, the director of advocacy at Freedom of the Press Foundation, says that the government is prohibited from doing this. This is against the law. He said this policy operates as prior restraint on publication, which is considered the most serious of First Amendment violations. Katie Fallows, deputy litigation director at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, says, quote, this is part of the Trump administration's broader assault on free speech and press freedom. Any journalist, she added, who publishes only what the government authorizes is doing something other than reporting. The Pentagon correspondent for the Associated Press writes, the Pentagon, which has claimed to have aspirations to be the most transparent in history, is once again cracking down on basic press access. This comes, by the way, as Trump is killing, extrajudicial killings, people in boats off the coast of Venezuela, apparently fishermen and refugees. I mean, we've seen no evidence at all that he's killed anybody who's a drug runner, and even if he had, running drugs is not a capital offense. It doesn't require the death penalty. Meanwhile, the Trump administration, the Social Security Commissioner, Frank Bisignano, told Fox News on Friday that, quote, the generations that are coming in will probably have a different set of rules than we had, end quote, on Social Security. What's the new rule? They want to raise the retirement age rather than force wealthy people to pay into the Social Security tax. Right now, if you make more than $170,000 a year, $171,000 a year, you pay nothing after that into Social Security. And that's why Social Security is having problems. If Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos paid all of, you know, into Social Security and all the money that they make, as Bernie is demanding, the program will be solvent for 75 years, and every American on Social Security could get a $2,400 a year raise. But, oh no, we're not going to tax the billionaires. Are you kidding? We're Republicans. And, in fact, the Republicans run the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate right now, and so the Social Security Commissioner is saying, yep, we're going to raise the age of retirement. Trump had said back when he was running for president, I will not cut one penny from Social Security or Medicare, and I will not raise the retirement age by one day.
Yeah, you're right. Listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
That's incredible. Here they come. This is what Reagan did. He raised the Social Security retirement age from 65 to 67. And here we are.
You may know frontotemporal degeneration, or FTD, as the disease that recently forced Bruce Willis to retire from acting. While it's the most common form of dementia for adults under age 60, many people, even doctors, aren't familiar with it. Uncharacteristic personality changes, apathy, and unexplained struggles with decision-making, movement, speaking, or language comprehension are the most common symptoms. It is often misdiagnosed as bipolar disorder, depression, and sometimes just a midlife crisis. It's World FTD Awareness Week. You can learn more about this disease and the important steps you can take to preserve and maximize quality of life by visiting the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration at theaftd.org. Find help. Share hope. Go now to theaftd.org.
I knew we all have two ages, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is I've likely lowered my biological age without even knowing. Here's the thing, because Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruit and veggies, many are 10 plus years older on the inside than their actual age. They're ticking time bombs. Major university studies suggest to slow aging and defuse that biological time bomb, participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, drinking, or exercise, just Field of Greens. I've been noticing more energy since I've been drinking Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. I feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly I'm aging. I encourage you to join me. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, or green drink
for Field of Greens while there's time. Check out the university study and get 20% off when you use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The world's most powerful data center is coming to what was once Wisconsin farmland, but not without some opposition. Stuart J. Waddles has the details.
16 months ago, President Biden was in office campaigning in Racine County, with Microsoft announcing a $3.3 billion investment. Now Microsoft is making another bet on Wisconsin, announcing an additional $4 billion expansion of its Mount Pleasant data center campus. The move brings the company's total investment in the state to more than $7 billion. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers calls it a major boost for jobs and technology growth. During the campaign event last year, Microsoft Vice Chairman and President Brad Smith, who called Racine County home as a child, talked about the statewide impact of the initial spend.
We are creating manufacturing jobs across the state of Wisconsin. As we get steel from near Wausau, as we get chillers from La Crosse, as we get generators from near Madison. This is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
Microsoft says the project will support nearly 10,000 jobs, with a caveat of those taking place during peak seasons. Environmental concerns still hang over the project as water use and energy demands remain hot topics. One lawsuit recently pushed the city of Racine to reveal that the data center campus could use 8.4 million gallons of water a year. That estimate does have the city of Racine falling within approved lake limits. Environmental groups also warned about the power needs. They say the Microsoft project and another in Port Washington could call for more power than every home in Wisconsin combined. A separate proposed data center in Caledonia in Racine County is also facing local pushback over farmland lost and rezoning questions. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Mixed skies and warm today. High temperatures flirting with 80 degrees, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially tonight. Some could bring some heavy rainfall, gusty winds, and small hail. And it'll leave us with a darker and damp day tomorrow, with on and off showers still and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
If you love animals and want to help in Dane County, shop, donate, or volunteer at one of Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores. They sell gently used and new clothes, home goods, toys, furniture, and more. All proceeds support the comfort and care of animals in need. Dane County Humane Society thrift stores. Shop Thrift Store West on Watts Road and Thrift Store East on High Crossing Boulevard. Visit giveshelter.org/thrift to learn more.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, if you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2
to 4.
For
all of your support. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
They say tone it down while the fire's still burning. One side's preaching hate. Democracy's breaking on the both sides scam. This is not the same. Stop the charade. One side builds bridges, the other brings rage. Truth has a cost, but the lies damn the land. We're choking on smoke from both sides. Yeah.
Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. So on July 9th, 1932, this was before Trump, excuse me, before Hitler was made chancellor. He was made chancellor in January of 1933. So this was just 6 months before that. His right-hand man, Joseph Goebbels, gave a speech called The Storm is Coming. Der Sturm bricht los. The storm is coming. And this is what he said. He cited Horst Wessel. I've told you before. Horst Wessel was this Nazi stormtrooper who, in 1932, was he was a street brawler. He was this is when the SA was not the SA yet. They were just the brown shirts, and they were like the Proud Boys. They had no government official affiliation, but they were out there in the streets on behalf of Hitler. And Horst Wessel was one of them, and he loved to get in fights with communists, and a communist killed him in one of these street brawls. So here's what Joseph Goebbels said in his speech, The Storm is Coming. So our dead comrade Horst Wessel wrote, and we are fulfilling his prophecy. The others may lie, slander, and pour their scorn on us. Their political days are numbered. They promise you workers, citizens, and creative Germans a Reich of freedom and dignity and beauty. People, rise up and storm. Break loose. Okay. Over the weekend, Stephen Miller gave a speech at the funeral or the memorial service for Charlie Kirk. This is what he said. The day that Charlie died, the angels wept, but those tears have been turned into fire in our hearts, and that fire burns with a righteous fury that our enemies cannot comprehend or understand. I am reminded of a famous expression, the storm whispers to the warrior, and you cannot withstand my strength, that you cannot withstand my strength, and the warrior whispers back, I am the storm. Erica is the storm. We are the storm, and our enemies cannot comprehend our strength, our determination, our resolve, our passion. So here we have Stephen Miller essentially quoting Joseph Goebbels, or paraphrasing, or something. This is wild stuff. Educator Jürgen Nodet says this is 100% Goebbels. Terms like forces of evil, the good, the virtuous. It's like they made the choice of Goebbels, but somehow got the volume stuck on Screeching Banshee, says historian Kevin Cruz. He says, Lee in Iowa on Blue Sky, Stephen Miller, Charlie Kirk's memorial is scary as hell. Amazing. Also, Senator Mark Warner is absolutely scorching Trump for now firing a prosecutor that he had appointed, Eric Seibert, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, for being unable to find enough evidence of mortgage fraud to indict Letitia James. Senator Warner says, the message is clear. Trump will punish anyone who has independence to challenge his baseless vendettas. James, of course, won a $500 million civil fraud judgment against the Trump Organization. And now the Federal Housing Finance Agency Director, Bill Pulte, P-U-L-T-E, has accused Letitia James of fraud, saying that she claimed primary residence on two houses. Turns out his own parents did the same thing. And they actually used that claim to claim homestead tax exemptions in two different states.
These are the parents of the Trump guy, Bill Pulte, the head of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, who found the records for Letitia James and Lisa Cook and Adam Schiff. So anyhow, he found those records, but nobody's been able to prosecute these people because, you know, they were paperwork mistakes or what. And none of these people, none of these Democrats actually claimed a homestead exemption in two states, which would be the crime. But Bill Pulte's parents did. This is wild stuff. Meanwhile, this morning on right here on Sirius XM, my colleague Howard Stern came out and said that he had canceled his Disney Plus subscription. This is becoming just a wave. I went online on Sunday to cancel my Disney Plus subscription. And I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even realize I had one. And three times while I was trying to cancel it, the site crashed and I had to re-enter my username and password to get back into the site. Apparently, this is a thing. Disney stock is down. People all across the country are canceling their Disney Plus subscriptions. And, you know, it's wild stuff. All right, what's on your mind today? Willie in China Grove, North Carolina. Hey, Willie, what's up?
Hey, it's good to get through and to talk to somebody. I've been on the phone for a long time today.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that tyrants rule until more patriots stand up to Trump.
Yep.
And
courage is contagious.
Yeah, courage is contagious, and we need a whole lot of courage right now because this is actually terrifying.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot like Marcos in 1986 when he didn't leave office when Aquino won.
Yeah, I was in the Philippines when that happened. I was there when, what was his name? What, the guy who was assassinated, they chased him down into a public toilet and shot him to death. And
of course, Aquino's father.
Pardon?
Was it Corazon Aquino's father that they killed?
No, it was somebody in Marcos's cabinet or administration who had kind of turned on him, as I recall. I'm sorry, I don't recall the details, but they carried his casket. I was staying at the, I forget the name of the hotel now, too. I was staying at one of the really fancy hotels in downtown Manila, and there's this main street that goes down through the middle of it. And you know, a big wide boulevard, and the protesters came right. You know, I watched them out of my hotel window, and then you know, I was supposed to leave the Philippines the next day, fly back to the United States. I had been there working with a Catholic priest by the name of Father Ben Leon, who wrote a column for the Manila Times called "Joke Only." He told jokes, but he was kind of a little political. But he was running this charity for the kids who lived in the garbage dumps. And so we were, and I was working for a nonprofit, and we were going to, you know, help him out. So anyhow, I was trying to fly back to the United States, and for 4 or 5 days in a row, I was flying on Philippine Airlines, I got bumped off the plane every single day because Marcos first and his family, and then all of his cronies were all fleeing. This was a flight from Manila to Honolulu. It was a wild experience, but I was there. Anyhow, Willie, back to you.
I was there too.
Oh yeah,
I was there too. I was on short leave in Olongapo when all the crap started happening.
Yeah,
and they actually closed the base, so I could not get back on base.
Wow,
I was stuck in Olongapo for the whole night, and it was wild. It was wild.
Yeah,
Olongapo was a anti-Marcos.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, it's kind of like saying China Grove is pro-Trump, which they are, but yeah. it's hard living here.
I get it, Willie.
But it's getting better because I don't see near as many Trump hats as I used to.
Yeah, not well, that's the thing. I think MAGA is dying. I think the movement is dying. I think it's basically become a cult.
I call them maggots.
Yeah, I did for a while, and then I thought, you know, if we're going to criticize them for calling us insects, we've got to stop calling them insects.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we're better than that.
I agree. Willie, thanks for the call and for the memory, and spot on. You're absolutely right. This is the parallels to Ferdinand Marcos are getting scary. 44 and a half minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with your calls.
Would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Get ready to go for the green and gold right here on this local civic media station. Your keyword for this hour in the multi-state contest is cold, C-O-L-D, cold. Text in the keyword before the end of this hour for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry, and to be entered to win Civic Media's grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Bookstores now.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So this is all too familiar to me. You wake up with a scratchy throat, congestion, runny nose, and a cough. You know your body, you know you're getting sick, and your choices are tough it out, get sick and take time off work, hope the doctor can see you this month, or wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of sick people. Or you can open your medical emergency kit like mine. I just match my symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription, start on the right meds, and nip this in the bud now. This is not a first aid kit. It comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat dozens of common and serious medical conditions. Strong antibiotics for infections of all types, strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, and a lot more. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. My meds are in my kit. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door, and I can get you $45 off. Just go to urgentcarekit.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use that promo code Tom when you check out. You've got to do both. urgentcarekit.com/Tom, and then promo code Tom when you check out.
On the water.
10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here. Tammy in Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Tammy, what's up?
Hey, I am so glad I got to get in today because I need to share with people when there's happy stuff.
Good.
About a month ago, I was stumbling across, well, first of all, ever since Michelle Obama told me to do something, and you end your every show with democracy is not a spectator sport, I stumbled across a website, weareamerica.com, and they were three, that decided they had an idea, and they were going to get together people, like-minded people that wanted to do a peaceful march from Philadelphia, where it all began, to Washington, D.C., family-friendly, all walks of life, a rainbow in every way, Democrats, Republicans, independents, few who I don't think were ever politically involved at all. And we went 165 miles over 2 weeks carrying the Constitution, a giant Constitution that we would roll out in several cities. And we didn't get a whole lot of media, which was sad. But the second goal was to build community. And I have to tell you, and of course now my neighbor's going to mow his lawn, there was so much more support than there was negativity. We had to walk for like 3 days down a highway. It was all highway marching along the side on the day that Charlie Kirk was shot, which some of us were rather paranoid about that day. And we did get a lot of the how they like to rev their engines or their trucks. And there was one goofball who, of course, had to make his little statement. But our support vehicle made use of the loudest horn I've ever heard outside of a big 18-wheeler, and so we drowned him out. But it was a peaceful march, and I guess the reason I wanted to share it with you and your listeners is because when we always say do something, I think a lot of people get scared off by a protest, and this was kind of different. And I think that people in all the states around this country maybe could organize something to march to their own capital. Yeah. We built so much community along the way with each other and with every single town that we passed through. And it was an amazing experience that we have to pull our stuff together quickly in this country. And I loved the experience, and I would like to see people try to make it work in other states.
Yeah, I love it, Tammy.
Thank you for the platform.
You're welcome, and thanks for catching yourself.
200 media stations at least along the way, and we got so little coverage from it. And, of course, mainstream didn't pick up on it at all. We had age 16 to 80. 80-year-old woman did almost the entire 165 miles. We had a support vehicle that you could jump in if you needed to. Blisters. I'm a hiker, and never say never. Day one, I said, I've never gotten a blister. You know, I've hiked thousands of miles. My feet were mashed potatoes.
And can you imagine if there had been a 165-mile march for Charlie Kirk? The media would have been all over it. It would have been a major event.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
But marching for democracy in America? No, you know, we're not going to cover that. That's astonishing.
And we did it so family friendly. I mean, a couple of things. I mean, we had a bubble machine along the way that here we are, you know, goofy costumes. And so imagine this, though, and I hope I have time. I'll make it as quick as I can. So you're picturing, what are we going to walk into in D.C.? And honestly, 100 different scenarios went through my brain, and a lot of them were kind of scary. So we get closer to D.C. on the last day, and a lot of people had joined us in the couple of days before. There were about 50 core marchers that went from Philly, and we were at least 200 strong by the time we walked into Washington. The police realized this might require an escort. So from, and I don't know D.C. streets well enough to know, but a pretty good distance, last few miles, we had a full police escort. Streets shut down and everything.
Wow.
Then at the last mile, and I hope I get this right, the D.C. Marching Protest Band was organized to jump in front of us. We had a police escort and a band the last mile all the way getting into the National Mall. And
it
was amazing. And Harry Dunn spoke at the National Mall. We had Jamie Raskin the night before. And, you know,
I had no idea. This got no coverage whatsoever in the media, Tam.
Right. That's why I've been freaking out. You know, it's like in the day, this would have gotten a lot of coverage.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was an amazing thing. We had, I don't know if I already said, cause one of the more fun parts of it, someone created, it's like a 20, I don't know, as big as you can get on the back of a little U-Haul trailer, gigantic pinata of a horse that rode in alongside of us whenever it was possible on this trailer. So it was like fun, and the it was amazing. But it is weareamericamarch.com. And if anybody wants to start brainstorming some ideas, we had super support from all the indivisible groups.
Yeah.
I cannot say enough. The community was mind-blowing, Tom. It made me cry. Every single time I walked into a town, I burst into tears with the reception we got.
Well, the next big one is October.
People are out there.
Saturday, October 18th. And again, it's getting virtually no publicity in the media, but I think it's going to be a big deal because I think people are seriously worried, seriously pissed off.
Too.
Tammy, thank you.
Right.
Thanks
thank
for the
you,
call.
Thank you, Tom, for the time.
You're welcome. Good talking to you. We're hitting the top of the hour on the other side of the break. The Cava bag of corruption. What's Tom Homan up to? I'll tell you about that. And, you know, is anything going to get done about this guy apparently taking a bribe? I'm not holding my breath because, you know, this is the most corrupt administration in American history, but we'll see.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
The Constitution is very clear. Government must not endorse religion. Yet in Texas and Arkansas, lawmakers try to force the Ten Commandments into every classroom. Thanks to lawsuits brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, federal judges stepped in, calling these laws, quote, obviously unconstitutional. This is not just about posters on the wall. It's about whether America remains a pluralistic democracy or slips toward theocracy. These victories show the courts are still willing to defend that core principle of church-state separation, and that is essential to protecting every American's freedom of conscience. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 to become a member. Because public funds should fund public education, not religious indoctrination.
Get ready, Madison. Elsa's Own Jarocho is now open on Plaza Drive. Five-star authentic Mexican cuisine. Fresh, homemade, and the best prices in town. See why one review said, best tacos I've ever had in my life. Elsa's Own Jarocho. You won't leave hungry, just happy.
The John and Gordy Show.
The FCC Gestapo is coming out to take us away.
All right. Coming in hot, huh?
I just don't want to go off on the deep end here. You know, I know I'm going to do it. I know it's going to happen. I'm just bottled everything up last night. Oh, man. You know, the family, I apologize.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8. On 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
92.7 WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. vowed he would find the root cause to autism by September, the Trump administration today expected to release its findings in limited studies suggesting a possible link between the use of acetaminophen during pregnancy and autism. Researchers and medical experts are disputing a possible link. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says the science is murky at best.
No known medical studies have proven that the use of Tylenol, known as acetaminophen, among pregnant women is a cause for autism. Some limited evidence suggests that it's associated with higher rates of neurological issues, but studies have been mixed.
In Florida, Ryan Ruth, who's representing himself in the attempted assassination trial against Donald Trump last year, rested his case today. Prosecutors wrapped up on Friday, closing arguments now expected. Volatile storms on tap for parts of the Southwest after damaging storms outside of Dallas, Texas overnight. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. This is ABC News.
You're listening